You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
It is time for another episode of Locked On Kings. Today on the podcast, I am going to be joined by a friend of mine, a voice familiar with the Sacramento sports radio and podcast scene. He can talk Kings basketball, he can talk 49ers football, he can talk basically anything you want, including outside of the realm of sports. It is Damian Barling joining me. D'Lo and I are going to discuss this proposed new NBA schedule, 72 games starting on December 22nd, and the effect that that can have on the league and on the Kings specifically. We'll also talk about Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic, what we guess Monty McNair might do with the two of them, plus Alvin Gentry. And you're going to want to hear all of the great stuff that D'Lo is doing in the Sacramento broadcast community with his Be Heard podcast platform. It's all here for you on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 6 years, just barely. Just wrapped up my sixth season covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. Looking forward to season number 7, and I'm looking forward to you hearing my conversation today with Damian Barling. It's always a treat when I'm able to have him on. D'Lo and I have worked together for years before this, and now, of course, being able to have him here on Locked On Kings, it's about the third or fourth time that I've had him on, and every single time I enjoy our conversation so much that I can't wait to release it so you can listen to it. I'm going to get out of the way. More time for Damian here in this extra long Locked On Kings podcast. Here it is, my conversation with Damian Barling. Okay, I'm going to do my best here to get all of this right off the top of my head. Joining me right now on the Locked On Kings podcast is the co-founder, or a co-founder, of the Be Heard Podcast Network. He is the host of The Podcast with Damian Barling, the host of the Be Conscious Podcast, the host of the Relive Wrestling Podcast, one of the hosts of the Hoopball Sacramento Kings Podcast, and of course, he is the D'Lo in D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, which you can hear from noon to 2 here in Sacramento. Damian Barling back with me here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Damian, it's so good to talk to you, my friend. It's been a while. Hope you've been well during this crazy year. Congratulations on all the great stuff that you're doing there on ESPN 1320, and I'm excited to steal you for a little bit here on Locked On Kings.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. And of course, man, happy to be on here. That was a long list of stuff you had to reel off there, but yeah, man, thanks. I'm thrilled to be here as always.
So, like I said, it's been chaotic to say the least.
A little bit,
especially in regards to Sacramento Kings basketball here in Sactown, and not knowing when next season was going to start, when the season came to an end for the Kings, which, hard to believe, that was months ago now. Now the NBA Finals is wrapped up, and suddenly earlier this week, D'Lo, they drop on us, the NBA drops on us this idea that they want the season to start on December 22nd. And I read in the initial report from Shams that it could be the difference of $500 million of revenue for the league just having games during Christmas and during the holidays. That alone makes me think that this is likely to actually happen. But what are your overall general thoughts on this idea of the season starting as soon as December 22nd? That's coming up quick.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I think Mark Stein tweeted today there's you know, likely a start for training camp in December 1st. And, you know, we've got the draft coming up November 18th, which means we would have free agency sometime between November 18th and December 1st. Like, it's pretty wild to think about and wrap your brain around when you consider that the season just ended. And when you think of the ramifications of that, like, we've been away from basketball for what, like 2.5 weeks, but like, you really haven't had an opportunity to miss it. We've got the World Series going on. We've got, or depending on, you know, what day you're listening to this, it could be over, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Like, we've got playoff baseball. We've got football. You know, we just wrapped up the NBA finals and it's like, oh, okay. Oh, by the way, this all might start again coming really soon. Now that's really exciting. I think for Kings fans, of course, we haven't got to see basketball in a little bit longer. We saw the restart in the bubble. We knew that that was a disaster. We're anxious to get the, I don't know if this is what we're calling it, but the Monty McNair era underway. And we're anxious to see what type of changes he makes, what that front office does with the draft, what they potentially do with free agency. So all of that stuff is really exciting. I got to imagine it's exciting for a team like the Brooklyn Nets, you know, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they're ready to get out there. But you know, one thing we speculated on when this story dropped on ESPN 1320 was, you know, this could be like a tale of two NBAs where we once saw LeBron James take like 2 weeks off in the middle of a season. If the season starts December 22nd, the way I could envision this is LeBron James playing opening night and getting his ring, playing on Christmas Day because it's prime time and it's the most important game of the year, but potentially, or not most important, but it's the, you know, it's the biggest day of the year. It's equal to, you know, Thanksgiving Day football and so on. And so I could see a situation where like LeBron, okay, all right, I'm going to chill for a little bit. Like I'm going to take a week off or 2 weeks off or whatever. I'll be in training camp. I'll be in shape. I'm going to do all of that stuff. My minutes are probably going to be reduced. My time on the court is probably going to be reduced. I'll play in the stuff that really matters. But once we get to January, I'm probably going to chill a little bit. Then we'll get to MLK Day and I'll ramp it back up again. We'll be ready for our second biggest day of the year, and then I'll probably ramp back down until we get closer to the playoffs. And I think that could be the case for teams like the Lakers. I think it could be the case for teams like the Clippers, teams that you are almost certain are going to be in the playoffs. I think that could be the case, though he'll have difficult waters to navigate for Doc Rivers in Philadelphia, maybe even Boston. I think this could be a tale again of two NBAs. It was kind of like the seeding games in the bubble, Matt, where you know, the Portland Trailblazers, they had to play every day. Like every game was really important to them. Every game was a playoff game. Same with the Phoenix Suns. Every game was really important to them. You're going to have teams like that. And Portland might be one of them. Phoenix is going to be one of them. Certainly Sacramento is going to be one of them. But then you had games in those, you had teams in those reseeding games where they weren't quite as important. Like the Lakers wasn't important. Bucks wasn't important. They basically had 12 preseason games to play. So the ramifications of starting on December 22nd, and I'm all for it, but the ramifications for it could, you know, they could be pretty, you know, pretty big in that I can't envision. I just don't envision a scenario where LeBron James comes back ready to play if it's a full slate of 72 games and he's playing December 22nd on. I think we see a completely different style of load management. Yep. If we start the season on December 22nd. And we won't see that with Sacramento, which is, this is the Locked On Kings podcast, not the Locked On NBA podcast. So for the Kings, it's really exciting for Kings fans because it's a chance to get back to basketball. It's a chance to get into meaningful basketball, and it's a chance to get a feel for, you know, what Monty McNair is going to do with this roster. I think there are questions about how he sees Luke Walton. There, we know that this is a really hands-on front office, and I think we as fans are just kind of excited to see how all of that plays out. So for us, really exciting with a December 22nd start date. For, you know, some of the athletes, and depending on the team, it could be more of a, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. It's like the Magic Johnson meme. I ain't gonna be there. You're gonna have to give me a couple of weeks as I settle in here to this December 22nd start date. So we'll see.
It's an excellent point, and you're absolutely right from the perspective of those teams. I said yesterday on the Locked On Kings podcast when I was going over what this proposal would really look like if implemented, I said we're going to see a lot more of the Kawhi Leonard sitting out games that he doesn't really care to play in. That's going to continue, but for a lot of different players and for a lot of different teams, and I think that does and will involve the Kings to some extent. And the reason why is I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but the NBA normally is an 82-game schedule that's played in 174 days or something like that. They're proposing a 72-game schedule, so only 10 less games, in like 130 days or something. Yeah. And we're talking no All-Star break, which is understandable, but you're looking at a bunch more back-to-backs, which the league has been trying to get rid of over the last couple of years. And then from the Sacramento Kings perspective, for someone like De'Aaron Fox, who plays banged up more than he plays healthy, for someone like Marvin Bagley, who's just hoping to spend time on the floor, I imagine even the Kings are going to have to, and Luke Walton and Monty McNair, they're going to have to kind of figure out how to maximize their winning potential right away, if they're even interested in winning right away, while also protecting their players and making sure that the back-to-backs don't hurt their future, I guess.
Sure. The Kings winning right away shouldn't even be a question. Like, we can't go down that road again. Like, they need to try to win games, and they need to try to win them immediately. But, no, your point isn't that that wasn't your point. I understand that was just a line that you said there. But other thing we have to, as I stutter through this, what other thing we have to take into consideration is the schedule. You make a great point about the number of days in the schedule. But one thing we should probably take into consideration also is travel is going to be different.
Yeah.
So, you know, it. I don't want to, I'm not like Scottie Pippen here where I go, well, guys didn't have to travel, so their championship doesn't count. But what I mean is, you know, the 3-5 or those types of, you know, grueling schedule things, you know, they could be a little bit different when you're potentially just playing in, you know, Los Angeles a couple of times. You're playing the Lakers and the Clippers, and then maybe you play the Lakers and the Clippers again. Or maybe you go to Phoenix while you're down there, while you're in Southern California. You just shoot over to Phoenix real quick and you play them a couple of times. And then you have situations where you head over to, you know, East and you hit I-95 where you take care of Brooklyn and New York, and maybe you go ahead and hit Boston while you're there and in Washington. Like, we'll see. You know, I actually wonder if teams in California go and you know, this will be the same for Eastern Conference teams coming out here. But I wonder if we see the Sacramento Kings go East once.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be difficult. I don't know that you can completely pull it off, because you immediately think about Brooklyn and Washington and Boston and the Knicks. And obviously those are all, you know, I know they don't drive, but those are all drivable distances. You know, you get all those and you could work in Washington. And, but now you've got to deal with Charlotte, and maybe you work Charlotte into the Florida stretch, where you knock out Miami and you knock out Orlando. Maybe that's how you work them in there. And you got the little Midwest stretch where you hit Minnesota and you hit Chicago. So I think, you know, it's going to be unique, and it's because nothing isn't unique anymore. And I know a lot of people think, I say this all the time on the radio, but I feel like people have locked themselves into like this thing that's going to happen, whether November 4th, if you get the result you want, you're going to wake up and everything is going to be different.
Yeah.
And like, that's not going to be the case. And then I think there are people who think, God, 2020 sucks so much that on December 31st, when the clock ticks to 2021, like, everything is going to be different. Like, no, it's not. It's going to be weird for a long time. And I know it feels like it's been weird for an eternity, but it hasn't. It's been like 6, 7, 8 months. It's likely to be like this all the way through 2021. So what they're building out with this NBA schedule is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before. It's not a bubble, but it's going to minimize travel. And so it doesn't take away from the point that you made in terms of the number of games played in the number of days. But we also, and again, it's a great point, but we also have to look at the fact that the travel is going to be different than any other, you know, amount of games that are played in a certain time frame. That this type of travel is going to be completely different, because normally travel is booked. It's booked with the like national games in mind. It's booked with the television schedule in mind and getting teams and arenas on certain days and all of that stuff. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that venues aren't going to be competing with concerts or circuses or rodeos or things like that. So, you know, it's going to open up a little bit more rain onto these arenas, and there's not going to be as much of a, you know, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, Megan Thee Stallion performing at Madison Square Garden if you're trying to set up the Kings and the Knicks sometime in February.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Rock Auto. Buying car parts is really difficult. There's way too many makes, way too many models, and now it's really impossible to stock all of the parts that you need in any traditional chain storefront. Instead of enduring the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Obviously, it's all about taking care of your car, but saving money where you can, so you can use it for other important things like your mortgage or your food. Instead of spending 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store, use rockauto.com right now and you'll have complete access to the best deals and a wide range of parts right there at your fingertips. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're all reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based off of what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require memberships or account login. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. It seems like, Damian, the NBA kind of read the writing on the wall a little bit, going back to your point about how this could last through all of 2021. And of course, the almighty dollar is going to be the main source of the NBA's decision, which is why I think the projected revenue for Christmas alone will actually make this happen, or it's the best case scenario chance to happen other than any other proposal that we've heard. But it seems like the NBA has almost given up a little bit or taken a step back on what Commissioner Adam Silver initially said back during the pre-NBA draft lottery show, when he said, like, our number one priority is to get fans back in our arenas. And, of course, the revenue that would come with that, that just doesn't seem realistic. And I think the NBA maybe all along knew that, hence the reason why we're seeing a model like this. But for me personally, it's an internal conflict, because I'm a naturally impatient person. So to hear that we could be getting the draft, free agency, training camp, and the start of the season within 1 month is like Christmas to me. It's phenomenal. I absolutely love it. But the other part of me is like, I think I would be willing to wait until March or April if it meant fans could be back in arenas. There's just no guarantee of that. So I don't blame the NBA for going, you know what, we're just going to control what we can control.
That's been the struggle with, you just summarized like America in that sense, in that I think one of the biggest issues with, you know, the pandemic and the coronavirus, particularly here in this country, is that if there had been an end date put on it, mm-hmm. I think people would have reacted differently. And because, you often hear the terms, oh, we're in it for the long haul. But if you don't see an end in sight, like, it gets really difficult. And when Gavin Newsom first kind of shut things down on March 13th, I think he immediately said, okay, we're going to revisit this in like 30 days. And then it was like, okay, we're locked in for, I don't remember what it was, 60 days. We'll just say it was a grand total of 90 days. And I can recall, you seeing COVID spikes and different like things like that all over the country. And California was one of the best states when it came to maintaining the coronavirus or maintaining the spread of the coronavirus. And part of that, in my estimation, was because we had an end date. Gavin Newsom gave us an end date. And when he started to open things slowly, it became more of a, okay, we made it. Like, we survived this, it's over, let's go out and let's do our thing. And that was kind of the wrong, it didn't work out that way. Like, he overestimated the way people would react to that. And so it's now become, you hear politicians say, well, we've learned to live with it. And you've got another one saying, no, we're not learning to live with it, we're just dying from it. So you've got this whole thing going on in which no one can definitively say, okay, if we do this, we'll be able to, quiet this pandemic down a little bit. So for Adam Silver to say, we really hope to, maybe at the time that he said that, we hope to have fans in, there was a belief that we've got a vaccine coming in, we're going to figure out mass distribution, all of these different things. And, now here he is, maybe 2.5-3 months later, it's clear none of that is happening. And so you talk about, you'd be willing to wait till March, April, or whatever the case may be. And if that's the case, you know, if the Kings, God bless it, are still playing in April, maybe they could open up the arena to a couple hundred or a thousand fans or some media members or whatever. But the fact is, like, there's no telling where we'll be in April. It could be significantly worse in April, which goes back to the point I was making earlier. Just because the clock ticks to 2021 or just because the calendar changes to 2021 doesn't mean it's going to be better. This is going to be a new year. 2020 has bled over into 2021. So there's no telling what February is going to look like or what March is going to look like. I mean, Matt, these guys pulled off a season in a postseason in a bubble.
Yeah.
And it was extraordinary. We don't know how this league is going to operate outside of that bubble. Like, we're assuming charter flights, different airport securities, you know, maybe they'll be okay. But they, even after completing their postseason, they're going to have to deal with something that they didn't have to deal with last year. They're going to have to deal with travel. They're going to have to deal with playing in different arenas. Like, they have a whole other slate of problems or a whole other slate of concerns that they've got to address before they can even contemplate worrying about letting fans into a venue.
I talked about that exact thing yesterday where I congratulated the league, of course, for pulling off what almost none of us thought possible. I remember when they first announced the bubble, all we were thinking about was, okay, what happens when the first player tests positive? And somehow the NBA made it all the way through without doing that, and that gives me confidence in their ability to also figure this out. But I said yesterday on Locked On Kings that if this is going to be the case where there is no bubble, and it sounds like not a single player on the planet wants to go back into a bubble scenario, especially those like LeBron and the Lakers and the Heat that were there for months at a time, they don't want to go back to that. So there's no way in my mind, if you do, even if you're playing in empty arenas with travel, similar to what the MLB and the NFL has been doing, there's no way you're not going to have some positive tests. And then that's where we'll really see where the contingency plans are for the NBA. But transitioning now to more basketball-specific stuff for the Kings, when it was announced that the draft was postponed until November, there was excitement in Sacramento because we were happy to hear that it sounded like the new regime, Monty McNair and his front office that he's now put together, they'd have more time to really go through the process and decide who they want to get and do their research and bring everything together. Now, with the idea that the season's starting on the 22nd, you're looking at, like I said, free agency maybe starting days after the draft. And then once you sign a free agent, they're on a plane heading into the practice facility for the start of training camp. That would begin a couple of weeks later. So it's an accelerated process, but I almost have the feeling, Damian, and maybe you agree or disagree, I almost have a feeling like that gives an advantage to a team like Sacramento, who is looking to re-sign Bogdan Bogdanovic, potentially interested in re-signing Kent Bazemore. I feel like it would be easier for players to stick with the teams that they know and negotiate with the teams that they know or have formerly been with because of the limited window and the inability to communicate properly or have meetings like in a normal free agency situation. Am I off base there?
No, I don't think you're all, I mean, it's an opinion. I'm not going to tell you your opinion is wrong. It's certainly, it's an opinion. Like, I'll offer a potential counterpoint to it.
Sure.
And it's that there's no deadline on free agency. You know what I mean? Like, we have a start and we get really excited for the first day of free agency, which is cool, but it's not like, okay, like free agency starts, you know, when's the draft? The 18th free agency starts November 20th, which would just be
nuts.
Incredible. Like, it's just absolutely incredible. Okay. Free agency starts. It's not like it ends the 21st,
right,
or the 22nd. So, you know, these teams can take their time. Now, there's certainly the, oh, by the way, training camp starts in a week. There's certainly that. So I recognize that, but I don't know how much players are going to care about that. Like, I don't know that Bogdanovic cares. Oh, I've got to go find my team so I can be there on the first day of training camp. Like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's the case with Kent Bazemore either. Like, the only people that time frame is really, really important for, at least in my estimation, is the rookies.
Yeah.
Like the kids that are just the young men that are just drafted, because they need to be there the first day of training camp. They need to go through that entire process. But guys like Bogdanovic, they don't. I mean, what's the big concern? Oh my God, our new free agent isn't here for media day. Give me a break. You just take his freaking picture a couple weeks later.
That's a really good point. Like, that's because I subconsciously almost treated day one of training camp like the end of free agency. And that's just not the case. I mean, that was a revelation for me, Arnold.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's, but that's the way, but we're used to that, right? That's, we're used to, you know, day one, day two. And then when something happens, like a few weeks later, it's a huge deal for us. When something happens outside the first 3 or 4 days of free agency, like it's a huge deal. Cause it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about all of this. Well, that's not going to happen this time. If these dates that we've heard hold to be true, they're going to, you know, we're going to have free agency and then we're going to have basketball. Like that's just the way it's going to work. So, you know, is it, you know, could there be a sense of urgency? There could be. I just don't think there will be. I don't think someone's going to look at this and go, oh, Kent Bazemore, I can't get a meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks for another week and a half. God, I better sign with the Kings. I don't think that's the case. You're not off base with what you say though. And that I always think it's easier for barring a bad relationship. I think it's normally easier for a team to re-sign a potential free agent, one that they want back. Cause I think it's like, hey, we want you back here. Like, I think that's important. This situation of course will be different though, because you have an entirely new front office and the next contract that this front office signs is going to be their first. So there's like, okay, Vlade loved me, you know, but I don't know how this Monty McNair guy feels. I don't know how this new front office team that he's built feels about me. So I assume those messages have already been relayed to like Kent Bazemore's agent and to Bogdan Bogdanovic's agent. And I'm sure that they all have a good feel as to, you know, what they might do. And I just realized it's still pretty early. Maybe they haven't been relayed yet, but they'll be relayed at some point. No one's going to get, you know, no one's going to get shocked on the first day of free agency. Like they'll have an idea of what they're doing, but yeah, I don't think you're off base. I think we're, you know, we're living in a time that's unique. So whereas that may have been more of the case before, I don't think it's going to be the case this time.
One of my major takeaways from Monty McNair's introductory press conference with the media is how close he played everything to the chest. And that's was almost a welcome sight after some of the blunders that Vlade had in front of a mic, like the I had a better deal 2 days ago or super team just young, things like that. So yeah. I'm going to do a total natural hot take media radio host thing to do here. And I'm going to pretend to know what Monty McNair is going to do before maybe he even knows. And I just have a gut feeling that if the NBA proceeds with this new schedule starting on the 22nd with that accelerated timeline, my gut feeling is we won't see a Buddy Hield trade. We will see the Kings match any realistic offer for Bogdan Bogdanovic, even though it sounds like he's going to have a lot of suitors per a report earlier today. And I feel like the Kings are going to maybe see what they have, and McNair might even experiment with Buddy and Bogey in the starting lineup together. Then at the trade deadline of next season, whenever that's going to be, that's when McNair will make a major decision on trying to move on from one or maybe even moving on from both. I just have that gut feeling that that is the right move for the Kings to buy themselves some time in this accelerated timeline. Do you feel like that would be a good idea for them to do, or would you rather try and maximize one of their values right now?
Well, incomplete equation. Like I'm going to make a cop out here.
Sure.
Because I admire you, you know, I got that you're so right about Monty's press conference. I've actually joked that we might not ever see Monty McNair again. Like that was the one, he was like, I'm obligated to do this press conference. Now leave me alone. I'm going to go run this basketball team. You're not going to see nor hear from me again. But it would all depend on to me. I get your thinking, but my thought is, you know, where I say incomplete equation is I don't know how Monty feels about any of these guys.
True.
So we have obviously read quite a bit about his love of basketball. We've read about analytics. We've read about his hands-on approach with Mike D'Antoni and everything that went on there in Houston. So, you know, he's not like, okay, team, let's see what we got here with Buddy Hield, or hey, okay, team, let's see what we got here with Bogdan Bogdanovic. He knows what they are. I'm sure he has some questions as to why things didn't work last year, but he can also watch basketball and know the shortcomings of Buddy or the shortcomings of Bogey. So I would run with your idea of holding off if they were kind of like, yeah, guys, I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure. Or maybe, you know, let's not pretend like general managers and agents, let's not pretend like they're not talking, whether it's legal or not. It doesn't matter. Like, they're having conversations, even if they're informal conversations. And he'll know, like, oh, there's interest in Buddy, or there's interest in Bogey. Well, we know that there's interest in Bogey. But I would base it all up. But if he's already entered this going, Buddy is not our guy. Buddy is not a Sacramento King. We cannot build around that type of behavior. We cannot build around his approach to the media, his approach to social media. That's just not a player we're going to have in this locker room. Then I don't care when they do it. If you know a guy isn't right for you, it doesn't matter. Yep. It doesn't matter if you do it November 20th or if you do it February 20th. Like, if you're ready to move, then just let him move. I don't think you have to hold on to him for any set amount of time. But you did it, you know, you prefaced your point beautifully in saying that you're going to get into the head of Monty McNair. You're going to try to, you know how he's going to feel before he feels it. And I just have to give you the cop-out answer, because I would base it all 100% on how he feels about those players. If he genuinely doesn't know, then yeah, I'm 100% with you. Hold off on everything and see what you have. Like, I understand the frustration with Buddy Hield and the antics and passive aggressive behavior. Like, I get that, especially from a player who's skilled at something, like incredibly skilled at something. I don't know if Buddy Hield is a great basketball player. I don't even know if Buddy Hield is a good basketball player. He's a great shooter. And I think with the right coach and the right offense, you can maximize Buddy Hield being a great shooter, thus looking like a great basketball player. I don't know if you can make Buddy Hield play defense. I don't know if you can make Buddy Hield smarter defensively. I don't know if you could do any of those things. But if you maximize Buddy Hield as a shooter, I still believe he can work in a Kings uniform. I don't care about the passive-aggressive behavior. I don't care about his crappy little attitude. If he comes out and he shows out every night for 48 minutes or whatever he's asked to play, whether he's in the starting lineup or coming off the bench, and he's able to execute what Monty McNair and Luke Walton, or what Monty McNair and if he decides on someone else being the coach at some point, I'm fine with that. What I hesitate on with Buddy is letting him go. Like, if you're not sold on Luke Walton and you're doing the whole evaluation process with Luke Walton, I would be very skittish about getting rid of Buddy Hield. Unless you absolutely don't like him, I would be really skittish about getting rid of Buddy Hield before seeing if he can work with another coach.
It's an interesting idea, and that's what makes this Alvin Gentry hiring so interesting, right? And funny enough, you and Jill Adge on the Hoopball Sacramento Kings podcast, you guys talked about the Alvin Gentry hiring, and I believe you had kind of the same approach or feelings that I did, and it's a rare situation where it almost feels like hiring a associate head coach who could absolutely take over the position and become your head coach. But hiring that person almost solidified the position of the current coach, especially with the fact that Walton and Gentry seem to be on the same timeline and contractually are on the same 3-year deal now. Of course, I believe Walton is making more money than Gentry. We don't know the specifics of the deal itself, but it's a weird scenario, right? And I'm very anxious to see what Gentry brings to Sacramento and if he's going to be there to help soothe out the bumps, like with what's happening with Buddy Hield. Of course, there's the former connection between Gentry and Hield, as Hield started his career in New Orleans and Gentry was his first NBA head coach. So I'm really anxious to see, D'Lo, how that works out, but I love the hire, and we've heard all this amazing stuff about how loved Gentry is around the NBA, his positive reputation everywhere he goes. It's a good thing to have for Sacramento. I really like the hire.
Me too. And I think what's important about that is, you know, I don't mean this to come across like, I don't think Alvin Gentry is going to turn down a head job if he's offered it anywhere.
Right.
But I'm with you in the sense he didn't come here to be, you know, the successor to Luke Walton if he doesn't make it through next season, or if he doesn't make it through it at any point coming up. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he perhaps solidifies Luke Walton here. And I've been really hard on Luke Walton because I still have a lot of questions as to whether he's a good coach. And there are some things like I admire, you know, it's a bit of hypocrisy on my part that I love guys like Tony Dungy who are really reserved and don't do, I don't really care for the yeller and the screamer and the, you know, that's why, you know, Hard Knocks is always difficult to watch because you got football coaches that just run around and like cussing at each other. And it's like, I'm not for that. And Luke Walton has a very laid back personality. And I think you can have a laid back personality, but still be a coach or still be a leader. Like, I don't feel like Luke Walton is a leader. And I feel like he's, you know, we see this in football all the time. I don't pay attention to it quite as much in basketball, but it appears to be the case as well. And that you go from one extreme to the other, whether it's Dave Yeager, you know, I don't think you could ever confuse as a player's coach. And then you bring in like the ultimate, like, player's buddy with Luke Walton. And that always, like, he was never annoyed when his team stunk. Like, he never, and again, it's hypocrisy on my part to say I admired Tony Dungy's level-headedness, but didn't admire Luke Walton's. So I'm hoping, like, I really hope, because it's best for the franchise that Luke Walton works out. It's best for the franchise that there isn't another coaching change. If Monty McNair just, you know, evaluates him long enough and decides that he's not, then fine. But I think you are 100% accurate with your assessment that Alvin Gentry filling that void that Igor Kokoskov have, which is probably a job, you know, God bless Igor Kokoskov. I don't know a lot about him, but I don't think he was a lead assistant in the NBA. You know what I mean? That role usually goes to either a really great young up and coming coach, not a guy who had kind of been brought in, buyer's remorse, and then fired his first year. You know, that's not a role that a guy like Igor Kokoskov normally gets. So I think Alvin, and then, you know, another great point that you made, Alvin Gentry is just so respected around the league. Like, he is the ultimate nice guy. I got to imagine that there was at least the conversation like, hey guys, I'm not coming in here, you know, to run my guy out of town. Like, I want to help him as much as I can. I want to help him build, you know, this staff, and I don't want to be looked at. I don't want it to be looked at any other way. And, you know, that is good for, like, inside the building. Doesn't stop us from guessing and, you know, having fun with it. But I think that's good for, you know, everything that's going on inside the building, is because a term that Kings fans aren't familiar with anymore is show stability. We have stability in the front office, or at least we believe we do. We have stability now within the coaching staff. So I love Alvin Gentry as a person. I love him as a coach. I don't know why. Just some guys, it just doesn't translate as a head coach. And it's difficult to figure out. Like, I don't know why it doesn't. Like, Romeo Crennel in the NFL, he's a phenomenal assistant coach. He cannot be a head coach. But, you know, with Alvin Gentry, I think he's a perfect lead assistant. I think it's awesome that he didn't go with Doc Rivers in Philadelphia and that he's here in Sacramento. And I think that he could wind up being Luke Walton's biggest asset heading into the new season.
Before we wrap up, I want to take the last couple of minutes to take this podcast in a different direction. And I want to preface this by saying that I intentionally didn't tell you that I was going to ask you about this. And I'm saying that here now on the podcast publicly because I want people to understand that this wasn't an agreement between the two of us for you to come on only if you're going to talk about this. I'm asking about it because I'm genuinely curious about it and also very proud of it as a younger person in this industry. And that's all the work that you have done working closely with Dave Deuce Mason and Morgan Reagan, of two very familiar names, or should be familiar, in the Sacramento podcast and radio scene, of course, connected with the Sacramento Kings in so many ways. But there was some photos that came out this weekend from the three of you plus Casey and other members of the Be Heard podcast, or Be Heard podcast platform, out at the Capitol in downtown Sacramento with a bunch of young people. And I just want to make sure I passed it over to you to explain to those who maybe aren't familiar with Be Heard, who listen to Locked On Kings, the work that it is you're doing and why it's so important bridging the gap between just sports broadcasting and sports podcasting into everything that you've been doing. So if I could turn it over to you for the next couple minutes just to explain and describe and speak about all the great stuff that you're doing at Be Heard.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you. Be Heard was it was basically like a network of podcasts that we launched back in June, where, you know, we knew we were doing good work, and we recognized that, you know, when the lowdown came to an end on KHDK and at the time ESPN was only airing national programming, that there was a void for local content. And we were kind of putting out podcasts, and it was like, okay, like, why don't we get together? Like, why don't we, like, help each other? Like, why don't we form some, like, sort of network to let people know, like, hey, you know, just because there's not, you know, local content on the radio doesn't mean you still can't find it. And, you know, two podcasts are stronger than one. So I had this idea where we could, you know, Deuce and Mo and I could get together, and it was really important to have them because, you know, I recognize who and what I am. Like I can be, when it comes to certain subjects, I can be like a bit of an abrasive personality. I talk about things that not everybody likes to hear. I'd like to think in a podcast form, you know, you probably didn't stumble across me on accident. Like you knew me from social media, you knew me from the Lowdown, or you knew me from somewhere along those lines. So you kind of know where my conversations lie, and they lie across the board, and they delve into politics, and I don't make my politics, you know, I'm not shy about that. But, you know, Deuce and Mo, why they don't make their politics, you know, they're not shy about, you know, what they believe in and what they represent either. They often present it in a different way, and their way is far less abrasive than mine. And so I knew it was important because I know that there are a lot of people that listen to Deuce and Mo that don't listen to me. So it was really important when I started Be Heard that I had them. Like we needed to do, I really, really wanted to do this together. And we linked up and we had this idea of why don't we leverage our audience that we have built, you know, for the last, you know, for those guys, they've done it for the last few years. For me, I've done it for the last year at the time. Why don't we use our audience and say, hey, you know, you've trusted us when we've talked about going to Vibe Health Bar. You've trusted us when we've talked about supporting our different sponsors and all of that. Like, what if we told you about other podcasters that you listen to? What if we told you that, you know, guys and girls, you know, men and women who study broadcasting, they don't have anywhere to go. Like after they graduate a tax later after, like there's no in the industry anymore because we've become so familiar with the terms essential personnel and non-essential personnel that normally those new people are the non-essential personnel. They're the interns. They're the people working overnight. They're the people working the grunt shift. And when you've got to get rid of money, you got to save money somewhere, you're usually getting rid of those people. So the pipeline into the business was eliminated. And so we did that and we called up a few people. It just so happens that my partner, Kenny Caraway, in the podcast that he does with Jason Jones, it had just ended on The Athletic. And I called him and I said, hey, let's not let this podcast die. Like, what if we started something that we're able to kind of like bring it back? And they had the same thought, you know, already. And we had this idea of forming what became known as Be Heard. And right after we launched it, right after we announced, here's what we're doing. We want to open up opportunities for young people who are interested in broadcasting. And specifically, Matt, like we started this, you know, in the wake of what happened to George Floyd. I wanted young Black people. Mm-hmm. Like there was no representation on radio in Sacramento. I wanted women to be able to talk about not just sports, to be able to talk about whatever they wanted to. I wanted those names to become more familiar with people who consume media in this market. And so we went out, when we put out the press release announcing what we were doing, somebody that worked with Deuce and Mo with the Sacramento Kings immediately reached out to Morgan about connecting with a group at the Sac Unified School District. And we hooked up with the head of that group. His name is PJ. And he was like, hey, I'd just love for you guys to come talk to the class. And, you know, we're doing everything through Zoom. We'd love for you to be a part of this. It's called Source Media Agency. These are all young people who are really interested in, you know, being advocates, and many of them are interested in broadcasting, and we have our own podcast here. We would just love for you guys to learn about it. This was the day that we put out the press release about Be Heard, and we were like, sure, when do you need us? And they said, can you join us on Tuesday? We meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it was like, sure. So we sat down with them and did the Zoom call for, it was about 2.5 hours on that first Tuesday. And the second we hung up and said goodbye, Morgan called me right away. And we were both like, all three of us were like, oh my God, like that was one of the most incredible things that we've ever experienced talking to those young people. And we made the decision right there. Okay, now we are going to completely change what we thought Be Heard was. Like it's no longer a podcast network is going to be a really small part of what we're building. But what we need to focus on now is mentorship of young people. What we need to focus on right now is helping young people find their voices. And ever since that day back, I think it was in July, we have been with that class multiple times a month. We have been with that group of young people multiple times a month. And we came up with this idea of creating a project heading into, you know, the election next week, called Vote Like Your Life Depends on It. It was a design that one of the guys on our podcast platform, Don Is Dope, it was a design that he made for a t-shirt. And, you know, I took it to, I've created it. We've created an entire campaign for it that if you look at any of at ESPN 1320 social media posts, you'll see the logo Vote Like Your Life Depends on It. And we're going to run that all the way through Tuesday. But we recreated the Fight the Power video at the Capitol this past weekend, the old Public Enemy song. And what was amazing about it is we, meaning me, Deuce, Morgan, Kenny, Don, the adults, we were there as assistants. Mm. They wrote and produced the entire layout. Mm. Everything that you saw, that was their idea. Now, there was a little direction. Hey, try this. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's refilm this. Let's try this one. Let's take this one. There was a little bit of that, but the general idea was 100% them. And when we got the finished product, you know, they even helped edited it. When we got the finished product in our group chat, it was like Sunday, like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just floored at how amazing it came out. And it's in a time that's been so difficult and so frustrating. It was amazing to see these young people so motivated to get a message out there and to be so invested in what our future is. And we could not be more proud of our association with Source Media Agency, which is now like a part of Be Heard. We can't be more proud of our association with the Sac Unified School District. And since you brought that up, I will say this till I'm so freaking thankful for Morgan Reagan and what she does like behind the scenes in our partnerships with like the youth and our partnerships, like in our community outreach stuff, because Morgan and my market manager at Intercom, and Intercom has bought into the Be Heard platform. If it wasn't for those two, like we're a full nonprofit now. We have so many things going for us. Like we have the opportunity to, like we're looking at building a studio, you know, for these kids to actually be able to work in, not just both a studio to film social media videos in, a studio to film podcasts and like all sorts of stuff. Like those are really our end goals with Be Heard, and it wouldn't be possible without those two people, specifically Morgan, and I'll just thank her till the end of the time. So, you know, thanks for bringing that up, man. That's cool. I'm really proud and thankful for what Be Heard has meant to me and what it's become here in Sacramento.
You know, I don't know if I've ever said this on Locked On Kings, a little bit about my story. I've been incredibly lucky to be where I'm at, to the sense that I was the last intern that KHDK ever had. At that time, we were owned by CBS, now owned by Bonneville. But I was the last intern before the internship program was cut short. Now, I graduated from William Jessup University in Rockland with my bachelor's degree in English communications and spent time broadcasting there. But I've told everybody that I would not be where I am, and I would have very much struggled to get into the industry if that internship hadn't happened. So to see something like this made available, I've had different young people approach me from local schools, or even listeners here to the Locked On Kings podcast have said, like, how do you get in to do what you do? And I can't really give them an answer. I hadn't been able to give them an answer other than it's a shame that internships go away. Just grind on your own and work on your craft and talk to people. Like, that was the best that I could give. And it always felt so shallow because it's like, okay, I didn't really tell them anything. I just told them to really kind of keep doing what they're doing. How much did I really help them? So to see something like Be Heard be created and for it to gain as much momentum as it has in a really short period of time, it's really cool to see. So, Damon, before I let you go, if there are some listeners to this Locked On Kings podcast who are interested in getting involved in this industry, who are younger but don't know where to go, how can they contact you, or what? How can they work with you to somewhat get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an open book, man. I'm readily available. I give everyone my personal email address, man. It's just my first and last name, DamianBarling@me.com. M-E, the old Apple address before it became iCloud. I'm super easy to get a hold of. I'm anywhere on social media. If anyone has like a general, like a real interest in doing anything in you know, activism work, advocacy work, or media work, like, just reach out. Like, I'm happy to help. I can't, you know, promise you like, okay, here's your podcast. Like, I can't promise you that, but I'm happy to help in any way that I can. Like, we take, I don't want to like be formal and say we take submissions for new podcasts every day. Like, we don't, but people present ideas to us, and some of them fit what we're trying to build, and some of them don't. Like we're getting ready to launch, you know, a new podcast in the coming days called Build Black. That fits what we're doing. We're always looking for sports content. We're always looking for Kings content. I mean, Sanjay Singh and Tim Maxwell, what they're doing with watching the tape was just like when their first episode came out, you know, those were guys, you know, who were really kind of trying to find their space. They had done really well in the written world with the Kings Herald. But when watching the tape came out and I kind of like poked in to see how it was doing, I was like, my God, like Kings fans just love consuming content. Like you and I had a lunch a couple of years ago where you shared with me what Locked On Kings does. And I know what, you know, the HoopBall podcast, speaking of people who like are saviors, like Jill Adge and her addition to that podcast has been amazing for me. And I know what that podcast does to see that Kings fans just consume so much Kings related content. It's amazing. And, you know, we have J Street Vibes on the platform as well. And, you know, J Street Ventures outside the Kings, but it's Jason Jones. It's centrally focused on the Kings. Like I think that was really eye-opening to me into how much Kings fans love their freaking basketball team. As many reasons as they've been given to not love them, they absolutely do. And so that was pretty eye-opening. So if you have ideas, if you have questions, if you just want to talk, reach out. Again, it's Damian Barling at me. You can follow me on, you know, any social media platform. And I try to be extremely, extremely responsive and respond to everybody, whether it's through DM on Instagram or Twitter, if it's just a mention. I try to connect with people and answer their questions as best I can or help them along as much as I can.
D'Lo, thanks for all you do. Thank you for always being willing to join me here on Locked On Kings and for taking nearly 50 minutes out of your day to chat with me. I really appreciate it. Continue the great work on D'Lo and KC again. Everybody can check that out and listen to it if you're in the greater Sacramento area via the radio.
You can listen to it anywhere in the world, Matt, on the radio.com app.
I was getting there. I was just starting slow and working
our
way
up. I deliver it more dramatically than you do.
That's true. You know what? I'll just let you do the outro from here.
Drama queen. Download the radio.com app today in your favorite app store. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button and boom, you'll save us as your favorite radio station because, Matt, we know everybody listening, their favorite radio station is ESPN 1320. And we'll alert you when D'Lo and KC go live Monday through Friday, 12 to 2. Does it sound like I've said this a time or two before?
I'm going to have to cut you off or you're going to take my job here on this podcast. Thank you so much, D'Lo, for everything. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Matt.
It's always great to have Damian on. And again, if you are interested in getting into this industry in some way, shape, or form, Damian is a fantastic guy to talk to. Please check out all of the work of the Be Heard podcast. They're really, truly changing lives for the better during this difficult time. They also put out phenomenal content that ranges from sports to politics to culture, music, everything that you could possibly want there for content is available. And it's all Sacramento-based, which is really, really cool. That'll do it for today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. As always, if you could leave a review of this podcast, if you haven't already, that would be fantastic. Best place to do that is on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Hit 5 stars, but only if you think this podcast is worthy of that rating. And of course, come back for more Locked On Kings content in the future. We'd love to have you back. Until the next episode, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.